So I was trying to explain. So Katie and Jeremy were explaining this game of making quilts to Alex and Megan. And I was talking about a cool two-player game that's like Tetris. And neither of us had realized for a while. They're both describing the same game, basically. Yeah. But they knew the name of the game, but for some reason forgot details about it. And I knew details about the game, but not. Yeah,
they were thinking fluff, you were thinking mechanics, and neither of you just said patchwork.
Yeah. And I texted you, and then that's when I got I said, Patrick, oh, that's our game.
We're not live.
I've been playing that for like 2 years on my phone. How come now, you assholes?
Bastards. Well, because someone said, because they said Feast of Odin was like patchwork meets.
Yeah, I said that last week here.
No, someone told you that meets those games, and you got excited by patchwork because
that was 2 weeks ago. Or
yeah, and some because no, that was one of the, a listener said it because we were trying to figure out what it was like,
and someone because Chris was talking about news. Yeah, and one of the listeners mentioned it was like patchwork.
Yeah.
Okay, let's throw them on there then.
My only issue with patchwork is that the app doesn't do push alerts when it's my turn, and so I'll forget to play for a day and then just lose all my games.
That's what happened to me in the Star Realms. That's my stuff, Star Realms. So I'd have like 6 games going that I would just forget for whatever reason. There was no like number next to it. I go, oh, you've lost every game you've ever played. Oh, thank you.
Did any of those have the card randomly move on you?
No. I don't know. That still freaked me out.
By the way, that card randomly moving, and that's how I feel about the cover system in Uncharted. It's like, what's happening? That's not what? No. Fuck you. If that helps you understand my emotions.
Hey, if you have a problem with a launch game that's 8 years old, that's your problem.
Yeah. That happened, and I got messages on, what, 3 different mediums?
Like, yeah. I'm like, what is happening? I'm like, sorry.
I'm going to start the recording from before, so that's fine.
All right, from before, like
I mean, like
are we
like
in the future right now?
We're not broadcasting, but we're recording now.
Oh, I can't see the screen.
We're it's not black. Are we going to broadcast? Are we working?
We're going to end eventually broadcast, but I'm but having issues. It's not. Yes. Currently, crap.
So can people hear us right now?
People can't hear us right now, but they will be able to hear us tomorrow.
They'll hear this.
It's like a Muse pre-ramble.
Correct. Yeah. Assumedly, I don't know. Is that a thing they do?
Nobody except that to their podcast. They cut it off and put it at the end.
It's awfully confusing. We'll just have it at the beginning anyway.
Well, they meet and they chit-chat and record and go, well, this isn't good enough for the normal podcast, and they put it at the end, and then sometimes it's longer than the podcast.
It's true.
Right. That's what we do.
Yeah, we just don't have the end part. We just stop the preamble, then we're done.
Yeah. Technically, our preamble is after all of our War Machine talk, just like theirs is.
And before.
Yeah. Well, no. We do all the War Machine talk.
No, we don't.
And then our preamble happens. 100% of our War Machine talk has already happened, is my point.
Oh, I
see. And the average podcast. Oh, 100% of it happens, and then we ramble.
You mean announcements?
Yes.
So I was sick last week, and I was like, what, 45 minutes? I click onto the link. I'm like, I'll see what these guys are talking about. And I click it up, and like, I read it, and I threw up again, and I turn up the podcast. And I go, I'm going back to being sick. It's much more tolerable than watching Kerr talk about War Machine.
Listen to Kerr talk
about War Machine. It's like you don't ask a retarded child what his opinion on something is, because it doesn't matter what the retarded child
thinks. Parents of retarded children disagree.
They don't care. They just say, Billy, what do you want? And they give him a banana anyway, because he can't handle anything else. Just give Kerr the banana and tell him to shut the fuck up.
It's not a literal monkey.
I think retarded people are monkeys.
Fair.
You're
making it very hard for me to actually post this.
He's in my chair. See, it's the chair's fault. I'm not like that as a human being. The chair, like, is an evil
parasite. As an audio listener, they can't tell if
this is it retard or is it tard. I don't know what the proper is it nowadays. I forget what.
At the very least, we need this audio for a soundboard.
For a while, it was Riri.
It is Riri. All right.
What?
Well, whatever. The tard should
window. That was the slang for that terrible thing.
What?
Yeah, you'd say a Riri.
I've never heard of that.
Well, it's like in the 90s for a month. Like, maybe it was in one
movie. Was it a song? Did you hear it? Someone was like, Riri and the Riri. He's retarded. And, yep.
I can Google it.
We can bring back old sayings, like, touched in the head. Is that what we're going to do now? Like, is that our thing?
My phone says crippled system is broadcasting.
We're not broadcasting. My computer, I just restarted it. So.
This might be an old alert. It's from
5 minutes ago. We don't actually exist right now. No one's going to hear our terrible things.
Yeah,
that's they true. Are going to hear it because I'm going live.
I don't see your picture. It means it's not happening.
It's happening. It's right there. It's being recorded. Do you see the waveforms that happened on that computer?
I don't trust that computer.
Well, that computer is recording.
It's really far away.
It's
a squiggly line. You're just upset because
it's too far away for you to get up and turn it off.
See, it's true. On Urban Dictionary. Riri is a retarded person. Or a person being a complete idiot.
You know what else is a retarded person? A retarded person.
Welcome to Crippled System, episode 186. My name is Andy.
I'm Dan.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Nathan. And we lost listeners once upon a time because I mentioned the concept of autism.
You did.
And here you're like, retarded children.
Well, see, autism, I'm giving them the respect they deserve. Okay. Autism is insulting their intelligence, but which I have very little of because they're retards.
Wait. Oh, I'm not even going to ask. Yeah. No. Bad. No. Announcement.
Off the cliff.
First weekend in March is still the ATC, and I have received more. There are officially multiple people signed up for the Solo Masters event at this point.
Well, shit.
And we've broken 16. We are over 16 teams for the team event.
Nice. So when is team registration?
Registration and financial equalization is the end of this calendar month.
Is it that the same date for the solo as far as a team? Or does it solo?
Yes.
So you can't sign up even for... You can't even show up the day of the solo and go, hey, I'm here to play solo. Because you want the list of solo ahead of time?
I don't think we put a pre-reg limit for the solo.
So I could show up the day of the solo.
If you show up the day of for the solo, we will let you pay and play. Right. I will make that judgment now. Because it's not like the team event where people need to tech against each other and everything.
We don't provide lists.
We're not going to post lists for the solo. Right. So yeah, that's
a good solo point. Masters is just a straight Masters
event. If you just show up day of, we will let you into the solo Masters.
My team may or may not happen.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't happen, I may do the solo. So that's why, you know, it's...
What is funny is that Professor Lust's team was going to cancel. And I'm like, you know, hey, why are you canceling? He's like, well, one of our people dropped, so we only have four people. And I'm like, so if you find a fifth, you're still... And he's like, yeah. So I post on my Facebook. And then an hour later, he's like, yeah, I have like eight people that have contacted me.
I wonder what unlucky schmuck is on Lust's team.
Well, whoever does that, those other seven people that contacted him, either five of them need to make a team or the seven of them all just need to sign up for the solo Masters.
That could be a pretty good team, actually. Lust is pretty solid. He could get some good people in there.
I actually tried to get onto it, and like, nope. Huh? I was too late.
You're too late? Well, you know what, Andy? Nope. Solo Masters is available.
My team is collapsing, so you don't even want any part of that.
Well,
you can be on Andy's team.
You never invited me from the first place.
Well, we had five, and then we had four, then we went back to five right away, and then we lost. Well,
now we're down to three, maybe,
well,
right?
The three is me, Jordan, and Jeremy. I don't have any faith in any of two. I don't have faith in two of the three of those people making it.
Are you counting yourself as one of the people you don't have faith in?
Two of the three. I mean, I don't know which two.
Those are three of the flakiest people.
Yes. I'm confident two of them are not going to make it. I'm confident one to one and a half will make the solo master.
And Brian,
possibly two.
This is why I left you guys.
Yeah. No, you should have. it got weird there, and you should have ran. I was like, you ran. I was really, for a week, going, should I tell Dan to get the fuck out? Because I think if Dan has a chance, he should get the fuck out. And you had a chance. And you got the fuck out.
I did.
See, you did the non-retarded move there. I should stop using that word.
You just make me think of that scene in Rick and Morty where they discuss the use of the word retarded.
It's retard. Who's that from?
What?
It's retard. They say retard.
Oh, that's from something.
It is from something.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I ask a listener, we're kind of live now, so now a listener can ask us what retard is from.
Do you have a diploma that says you don't have donkey brains?
What the hell is up with my streaming thing sucks. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Stupid internet. Being all internet-y.
Take that, internet.
So there's an event in... Where is it? Is that Madison? Is it our bi-yearly War Machine event?
The Masters event is this coming Saturday at... No. What?
Champions.
Champions. That's what I meant. Sorry. The Champions event is this coming Saturday.
In Madison.
At Pegasus.
At Pegasus Games.
Masters!
10 a.m.
Champions!
Yep.
Champions!
Dear Lord.
The Champions event is the thing and the stuff. Hercules. This Saturday, Pegasus game.
10 a.m. Reg. 10:30 dice.
10 a.m. Reg. 11 a.m. dice.
Have you seen baseball?
10:30 dice. 10:30 dice.
Because it's Rick.
Just be there at 9:30 or 10.
And then our next Madison event will be in November.
My favorite part?
July.
I guess Madison, yeah.
Hold on. I forgot about this. My favorite part about this week is... When is Rick going to ask me to bring all the stuff for the event?
Thursday.
Saturday morning.
Yes. Yeah, you will wake up to a text message.
Yeah. I'll have everything in the car already ready to go, but yeah, he won't tell me unless somebody tells him beforehand until Saturday.
I work this, Friday night. Rick, if you're listening, you know, tell him. I work the Saturday, so I won't be
Rick
there.
I think Rick is smart enough not to listen to our podcast.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he'll ask you 15 minutes after I remind him.
Can you remind him Thursday or Friday, then?
Is there money involved for me?
Yeah, Andy will pay you.
Okay.
No, I won't pay you shit.
See, he Speaking won't pay shit. You shit. So he's going to pay you something great, because it's not going to be shit.
I'll take nothing over that.
Yeah. Speaking of shit, did you see the news about, was it Martin Shkreli or whatever his name
is? Yeah, people throwed poop in his face.
Yeah, he got hit in the face with dog poop.
Oh. Well, you know.
Fuck him.
Fuck him.
Yes, he is a terrible person.
Who?
Fuck anybody who buys out of drugs and then just ramps it up when people are dying.
That guy. Yeah. Yeah. He got poo to the face.
Oh.
Yeah, somebody threw shit in his face.
That seems like karma.
If he was going to be at a talk at a university, it seems that doesn't but seem like
he's embracing his hatred.
Yeah,
yeah, I guess.
But still, if one of the side effects of being embracing hatred is getting poo to the face, the line.
Yeah, maybe don't embrace it.
Well, at least
thank God it wasn't potato, because potatoes could hurt.
Yeah, they could. Well, are we sure?
We're sure.
Have they run analysis yet?
It depends on the state of potato. If it's
that could have been mashed like red russet potatoes, so it has that deep coloration. Like, they need to do tests.
Yeah, to find out which one hurts more. A piece of dog poo, frozen dog poo, runny dog poo.
So, like,
this is sounding like that Japanese game show where the, is it chocolate?
Yeah.
Oh, is it, what?
There's a
show called, is it chocolate?
Yeah, no, it was literally called, but that's the premise. They just put people in a room, and some things in the room, like, you, it is a difficult game show, because shit, like, it'll look like this mic stand, but it's made out of chocolate. And so they have to, like, guess, and then they have to bite it, and if it's chocolate, it's chocolate. If it's not, they just, like, spray confetti in their face, and they're kicked out. And so the last person, it's pretty awesome, actually.
Do we know, is Travis coming to the event this weekend?
I don't know if Travis is coming to the event.
So. He signed up.
Can tell us. He signed up.
But then again, Travis and I sign up for every event in Madison, and then may or may not show up.
Well, if it's at PET, I can stop by and say hi, because I'm in town Saturday. I'm just not playing. Well, the Reddit might be out by then for Scorn.
I'm guessing probably this week.
I'm almost certain it'll be this week, just because if Hungerford pops into the Scorn Facebook thread and says soon and then leaves and it doesn't come out that fucking week, they will literally burn Privateer Press's headquarters to the ground.
And the warehouse. Because it's in the same place.
Yeah. Like, I don't care if it had indestructible as a rule in Monpok. They can actually destroy that building. Is Travis chocolate? He might be. I've never bitten him to check.
No matter
what slash fiction people have written.
Travis, when you come on Saturday. All these
inappropriate thoughts. I held back inappropriate thoughts.
I have a lot of readers.
By people, I mean me. I write a lot of Travis and Nathan slash fiction. And I keep mailing it to him. No response.
You just start saying to him. Just saying to him, like, you're shipping your guy's relationship to, and you mail it to him.
Are you allowed to ship yourself? Is that just called stalking?
I don't think you can actually ship a human being without it being illegal.
What? No, sure you can.
I don't think you can ship a human being.
As long as it's two different human beings. Like not yourself. Like, I can ship, you know, two other people and say those two people should get together.
He means ship like mail.
Yeah, like mail.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't think...
No, that's not.
I'm not a huge fan of the term shippers for that kind of stuff, but I just had to use it there.
Wait, what? Ship?
Yeah, shipping. You don't ship people?
No.
It's what? Fan fiction. We're not on the same page.
What?
We're not actually going to ship a person. It's
what are we getting into human trafficking?
It's like a lot of there's a lot of like Tracer and Widowmaker.
Made of chocolate, it isn't human.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to eat people,
even if they're made of chocolate.
Correct.
Hey. Yeah, if
we're still trying to figure out if Travis is chocolate, so can we eat him?
I'm trying to decide if Travis is.
He'd probably be dark chocolate, because dark chocolate's the worst chocolate.
It's bitter. He is bitter.
Yeah, he'd be like super dark chocolate.
He has no sugar in it.
There's no sweetness there. Compacted
cocoa powder.
Yeah, he is a raw cacao bean. He's just the straight beans from the tree.
Yeah,
and that's announcements.
Travis is made of cocoa beans.
Zappity.
I can feel that last sentence hurt Travis a type.
Same private is correct. Right, so topics of conversation. Packers, woo! Packers!
Yay.
I had a fucking heart attack 17 times during that game.
Well, I was waiting until it was over to come over here, and the damn game was so close, I had to wait until it was literally over to leave the house, because I was like, because I just had it on my window of my computer as I was watching TV of other stuff, and it was. Well,
and then in the first quarter, when it was like 21-3, I was like thinking, like, wow, we could probably start the podcast early. I'm like, Packers are
going to lose an OT when I saw that.
Like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then I watched them get the Dallas run down the field and just get a score right away, and I'm like, 21-10. That's too early.
Freaking Elliott was averaging 6 goddamn yards a carry. Like, why did they ever bother passing the ball at that point? Like,
well, they're behind, so, I mean.
We just like, were not stopping that
game. Well, speaking of the stupid thing. Quick thing though. I'm going to finish my sports.
You go ahead with your sports talk.
The stupid thing is, so Dallas.
Hey, Katie.
Dallas is going down the field to get a touchdown.
Yep.
And so they throw two big plays. They get a first down. They run down and spike the fucking ball.
Yeah.
They had a fucking timeout.
Yeah, but I guess they were saving that for a time that it wasn't first down.
I guess.
You know what I mean? Like, you'd rather spike it on a first down than have it be third down and need to use a timeout instead to give yourself... You get what I mean? So,
maybe.
What is stupid, and what I always disagree with, is Dallas was down by 15.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know they're going to do two touchdowns with a field with a 1 point and a 2 point.
Yeah.
When you get the first touchdown, go for two then. Okay, sure. Because then you, at least you know whether or not you've missed that 2 point conversion, and you know whether or not you've now made it necessary to score a third time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you just do the 1 point, you still don't know. And so if the next time you're down there, you're in field goal range, you don't know whether that field goal is necessary or not, and you still have to go for it. I mean, this time it didn't matter; they got the touchdown. But imagine if it was like, you know, 4th and 2, and they don't know whether or not they need a field goal, so kicking a field goal is wasteful. So you do the 2 point conversion, the first touchdown. If you make it, now you know a touchdown's good. If you miss it, you know you need a field goal anyway. So when it's 4th and 2 on the 30, you grab your field goal.
Yeah. The only reason why I disagreed with their spiking the ball on first down is it only gave them 2 downs to actually do anything.
Sure.
Because then they were going to kick a field goal then.
Sure.
And 3 downs to do something I felt was going to be a much better option, especially that far down the field.
Sure.
I mean, it didn't make sense to me.
Just but. The number of times I see the down by 15 and then they do a touchdown and take the 1, and every time it infuriates me because I would rather know.
Sure. All right, enough of that. So, we're thoroughly bored two people.
He turned his volume up to be obnoxious.
It was on. I was like, oh, it's that's terrible.
Yeah, you're that guy.
Katie?
Yeah.
She plays hers quietly.
I was like, we've already lost Brian.
Yeah.
So
no. Yeah. Oh yeah. While Brian's playing his game, it's time to talk about Theme Forces.
Yeah. We also got an update too. So Jeremy is going to be coming in probably Tuesday to record his reactions for the errata for his
Legion.
No, not for Legion.
Retribution?
For the Retribution cast that he did.
Sure.
So
sure.
I have an update.
What
for
do
that.
We think? Is it just going to be an hour of him going? No, Cyan.
I'm pretty sure Cyan is in playable trash now.
Yeah.
What's not in playable trash currently? We should play. What will Jeremy?
Yeah,
not
say, I feel like we need to put a bet on that.
Hey, what is Cyan playable at all according to Jeremy? Do we think?
Well, he's out of the game, so I don't know. Like, why hasn't he played in like 6 months?
Cyan?
Anything. Like, Jeremy hasn't played in forever.
Jeremy.
He lost to some random person in Milwaukee and then decided Rhett was terrible and hasn't played.
Jesus Christ, that guy. Negative Nancy.
Yeah. He did lose and he's sad. Well, he didn't like some of the... Him and Jordan kind of stopped for the same reason. They didn't like the lists that were forcing their meta to be boring, which is weird for Jordan to say because he's usually the person who wants to force the meta to be boring.
He's
Jordan quitting a game because Kador plays a spam list makes no sense to my brain.
It is very, very odd.
We have to change our own personal meta in Madison to battle Jordan's list. We had to find out, like, is Jordan going to the tournament here? Okay, well, I need to bring a list to handle him.
Yeah, because all he do is spam.
Yeah, we have Dave now, but the two better things about Dave are, number one, he changes to whatever spam list is popular that week, so at least we see a variety of bullshit. And number two, I don't see him in tournaments as much.
No, he doesn't.
His schedule is just
off. Well, he has two kids.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Whereas Jordan was at every tournament with the same list for 4 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he is excited about he does like the Kator theme, though, because he does like the Wintergard theme because he can spam Drax. Because, you know.
Speaking of which.
I blame Travis for that.
The Wintergard theme that you'd bring 0 Wintergard with. Right. Or 60 Wintergard
with. I know how to fix the
depending on which
thing.
Continent you're on.
So, Travis, you're listening. So, a very simple errata for you to make. change Winter Guard command to Red Tide. Then everyone can shut up about people not bringing Winter Guard with the Jacks.
It's kind of like naming Starship Troopers the movie a different title so that people like Jim aren't mad.
I would watch it then. I'm also in that camp.
What? Man, do I find Starship Troopers the book to be one of the most boring things I've ever read.
That's fine, that's but fair. You agree that it's different than the movie.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculously different, but yeah. I love the movie. The Wait, movie, things happen in the movie.
Should I get Jim here? Because it'd be great if we talk about Starship Troopers.
Jim has said this. If that movie was called Bug Fighters, Jim would probably love it.
Yeah.
But because it's Starship Troopers, he hates it, and so that's the
if it was called John Wick, he'd still hate it.
Yes, well, yeah. Oh, John Wick 2, I need to buy the tickets for that tonight. Make sure I get tickets. I don't know. If they're not, I don't care. Like, I saw a commercial for it during the game, and Raylene insisted that she get to buy the tickets so we could sit where she likes to sit, which is, like, as far away from the screen as possible, and I don't know why. Like, you don't want to be in the front four rows or so, but in the middle, you know? You got that break, the pedestrian break in the middle. One row behind that, maybe two behind that, is golden territory.
Maybe she needs new glasses.
Yeah. Yeah. She also falls asleep at most movies, so it's convenient for her to be in the back.
Convenient?
I don't remember what movie it was I went to, but it must have been some kind of kids film or something like that. But there was a kid that was next to me, and he was lying on the chair because he had already extended all the way out, and he just dumped his popcorn into his chair. So he was like lying in a sea of popcorn.
We can buy tickets for XXX Return of Xander Cage.
No. Nope.
Have you seen the Fuck You, It's January video from Red Letter Media yet?
No.
It's a preview of January's movies.
And it's not good movies.
Well, it's
January. Monster Trucks is going to be the big expensive one. That movie cost $130 million to make.
Off of a whim from a four-year-old kid.
Four-year-old wrote that movie.
Producer's kid. Hey, you know what? To be honest with you.
Although Axe Cop is written by a four-year-old.
As a kid, I think I would really like Monster Trucks.
Sure, but does it need to cost $130 million to make?
It looks a lot of practical effects for a lot of it.
Why? If it's a kid's movie, just CGI that fucker.
Yeah.
Can it be any worse than an Uwe movie? They cost $130 million to make.
Oh, my God. But that's a tax dodge. He wants to lose money.
Yeah. I mean, there's
Why
that.
Why is there a random fish in Blubberella?
Oh, God.
You remember that?
I cannot buy Jemmick tickets.
Damn it.
I almost want to watch that movie again. Just so I can see that scene, because that didn't make any sense.
Well, it's just the Nazis are shuttling Jews onto a death train, and in the line, it's just a person in a fish costume. No explanation. No, nothing.
They called for extras. A guy showed up wearing that. I'm like, well, I guess that's in the movie.
I would believe that. I would also believe that Uwe Boll was filming like three movies at once, and one of them needed a fish costume, and he's like, no time for costume changes. Just get him in. And so the other one, the live-action Finding Nemo, had a bunch of Nazis and Jews in it for the same reason. He just moved them between the two movies without costume changing.
Or it's actually filming the same thing. Just two different camera crews.
Sure. And so in his fish movie, there's just an inexplicable scene with a Nazi death train.
Yes.
They're sharks.
Like an Uwe Boll?
To clarify for Arctic Circle asking about it, Uwe Boll doesn't want to lose money. He wants his movies to lose money because in Germany, if you film movies and they lose money, you personally don't pay taxes on your income for that film.
I thought that was changed recently.
It might have been, but might be why you haven't seen an Uwe Boll film in 5-6 years. Like, but that's why he shit out those movies. He's like, the movie did terribly, so nobody who worked on the movie has to pay taxes, including me, and I took $1 million salary for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Big old tax haven dodge thing.
Boom.
He could sure back up his word, though. When he says that...
Fuck out of Lotax.
Come and fight me, you know, when he challenged all of his critics to a fight, he beat the shit out of them.
Well, he also picked... He made sure he only fought people who couldn't fight, though, because there was a big thing. People who could fight, he would not fight.
Right. Oh, really?
Oh, he's a trained boxer. Yeah. If Mike Tyson had been like, your movie sucks, he wasn't going to fight Mike Tyson. But when a doughy flubber like me, you know, like Lotax, is like, your movie sucks, he just beat the shit out of him.
Because there were actual people who could fight who he didn't.
They turned out. Yeah, turned out.
So it was he definitely worked that in his favor, which, I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, I would.
That's what he does. He,
he works everything in his favor. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Oh, we were talking about the shitty movies of January is what we were talking about.
Shitty movies of January.
So there's Resident Evil, forces. Resident Evil, like whatever.
You're doing a good job keeping track of topics, Brian.
All right.
Resident Evil, whatevers. Then we have the Underworld, whatevers.
I'm tracking stuff, people.
This is not helping. Nathan, you need to do this because this is
what I'm going to write the same stuff. I agree with the second one. As a general
Resident thing. Evil was one.
One of these days, either Brian or I is going to commit suicide, and this will stop being funny.
It'll be funnier.
Anyway.
Stop your nihilist shit.
So,
you believe in something.
I believe nihilism didn't help weight loss. But that's another problem.
Oh my God, did it not? Like, it was so fucking bullshit. I'd be doing so well, I'd lose like 5-10 pounds, and I'm just like, the universe is dust, and I would just eat pie. Because it's hard to argue with that. It's like, why have a six-pack when nothing matters? And I just cry and eat four cakes.
Yeah, like someone's grandma will die and they'll lose like 30 pounds. Fuckers.
The grandma would? Well, I guess it's easy to lose weight when you're dead.
She'd lose a lot more.
That's why I'm not bothering now, because when I die, I'll lose a lot of weight. Anyway, it was intro and then announcements, and now themes /
January movies.
Bad movies.
I mean, if we wanted to produce basically all the movie pain trains for the entire year, we could do that today.
Sure.
I mean, this month we could do that.
They dump everything in January.
January and September are the two dumping months.
What are, like, so there's Monster Trucks, which doesn't make sense. It should be called Truck Monsters.
Yes.
What else we got?
Resident Evil something.
You know, sure.
Bye-bye, man.
Which, like, apparently his shtick is it's like Beetlejuice, but not a comedy. Like, if you say his name, he shows up.
So just he possesses people. About him, even if you think about him.
Well, that's like the super hardcore Catholic version of sinning, where even thinking it counts.
If you fart his name, he comes. Now, the other thing about January movies, which is funny, is a lot of movies, you have the flip side. You have all of these trash movies, and you have the award movies who come out on December 25th in a limited thing, and then wide release in January. So you have these, like, you either have the trash movies, or you have the ridiculous Oscar bait movies.
The Monster Calls is probably going to be one of those.
Yeah.
That looks, I really want to see that movie.
Yeah, it looks neat. I mean, I'm 99% sure I understand the entire plot of it, but, you know.
Well, but, the phone rings and it's a monster. He's like, I am a monster.
Yeah, and then the movie ends.
Yeah.
I am a monster. Hello, this is Dog.
Dog. Oh, I want a Monster Calls to star Grover and just literally be Grover calling and telling me he loves me.
Telling you where he is in the world?
Yeah.
Is he near you?
There's a monster at the end of this movie. Or is he far from you? And then Super Grover happens.
No.
I learned to type from a Super Grover game.
I'm pretty sure that is just a Sesame Street episode.
Sure, legit.
I'll get back to you in a year.
Elmo just because he supplanted Grover.
Speaking of Elmo, I've noticed this on a few times I've listened to AC/DC, but there are times when Brian Johnson sounds like Elmo to me. When he's going high in his pitch for songs, it just sounds like Elmo.
And that's Theme Force.
And that's Theme Forces.
Well, what?
No, I want to make one point. Happy with, I don't want to go into your, specific theme forces. That wasn't the point. I wanted to bring up a topic to be an anti-salty
thing. And there's Underworld Blood Wars as well.
Yes, because the world's been foaming at the mouth for another Underworld movie.
And a dog's journey or a dog's purpose.
Well, that movie's made for specific people who want to watch movies about dogs.
Oh,
that can come
God.
Out any time. If you want to watch a movie where a cute dog dies, that's your movie. Because that dog dies like 8 times. It's all about dogs dying and reincarnating themselves.
Yeah.
So it's like, that movie, a dog keeps dying.
Fucking awful.
Like a guy over through the same life gets different dogs, but it's kind of an incarnation of the same dog, the same dog spirit. So you get to like watch a dog die like 7 times.
Who the fuck is bad enough doing it once in Marley and Me, spoilers, but to see it multiple times?
Yeah. You thought you were sad once. Well, how are 7 dogs dying make you feel?
Watch a trailer for a dog's purpose. You're like, what?
What's a dog's purpose? To die and make us miserable.
There is no way. That movie could be trash, but there's no way I want to watch a movie and emotionally just be wrecked for like a month.
Does it, like, at least reincarnate with the voice of Kevin Spacey?
Different people every time.
Different people, different dog. So, like, there's a golden retriever, and then but obviously that, have a human that one,
voiceover?
Yeah. That one I know. That,
or a patron of voice.
Yeah, the golden retriever I know is old because it's got all the white face and that on him. So that must be like the first dog.
It was reverse. Goes. It was reverse blackface. It's Morgan Freeman playing him.
Morgan Freeman is voicing a white dog.
Yeah,
man, fucking Hollywood.
Can't even get the stories right.
So theme forces. People are bitching and moaning because some of the theme forces are really, really good. And they're like, oh, great. Theme forces are auto-use again. Blah, we're back to the depths of Mark II. Blah, blah,
is
blah.
Is it most of the complaining, I don't have theme forces that good, so I hate them? It's not that people who have the theme forces are bad.
There's I've heard that. Both.
But what I want to bring up is...
How good Underworld Blood Wars is going to be.
Sure. You know, what's with her I'm and trying. The weather is... It's okay if theme forces are automatically used. Like, if you're an idiot not to run a theme force, that's okay. As long as, of the three theme forces, there's reasons to take each of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't matter if you should never not be in theme, as long as you have options of which theme to run.
Yeah,
because then there's still flexibility. Yeah, so Privateer, if all three themes for each faction are good, you'd still have that interesting choice.
Yeah, Privateer said when the edition changed that they envisioned themes being the choice... At least half the time.
Right. And because it's not one per caster, so it's not a binary choice, either you theme or you don't theme, since you can choose between three of them, or more eventually, but once the theme book's out, it's going to be, I believe, three for everybody, like, then you get an interesting thing about, you know, well, do I do Red Tide, do I do Winter Guard Monkeys, do I do Grey Lord Extravaganza, and so on.
Yeah.
That's my point. And maybe it's just such a super awesome point, we don't have a conversation. But.
Again, there's really, I mean, you can complain about it now, but all the books are not out yet.
Yeah.
We don't have that whole playing field to see. We only saw like half the field, and there's just people just poo-pooing all over everything.
Well, when you look at them now, you can go, okay, I'm just going to throw out a shit number here, but half of them are amazing and you should play, and the other half you're a moron if you play. If you're in that half that you, if half the field gets a benefit for doing it and half the field doesn't get a benefit, and you're the, if you're in the half that doesn't, you're like, it's kind of annoying. And yeah. I get that. But I mean, it's nice that they gave everyone a thing. I mean, it's nice that they put them all, they put the effort to get everyone out there. So that's cool. And you know, it is what it is.
It does also explain why they chose 75 points and people were saying, wow, these feel a few solos short.
Yeah.
It's because if we were playing it any larger, some of these theme forces would be ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the themes are giving you 12 to 16 or so points on average. And
now,
so,
if you were playing 100 points with them.
Yeah. Well, that's my point. Yeah. So you're getting up. A lot of people feel like, oh, I'm just like two or three solos short of where I think I should be. Well, congrats. You're there now.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as, like, across the board, if, like, let's say all the theme forces are out, as long as every faction is, like, in the same point where, you know, everyone's taking themes and everyone's, you know, saving the save 12 to 15 points. I just don't want one faction where, like, man, this faction, I save 30 points and everyone else saves 15 because you get this, like, weird, like, nonsense going on. But we'll see. I mean, yeah, I don't disagree with you either. I think.
Plus, it's making people consider things they hadn't thought of. I mean, Jake and I spent an hour this weekend working on a Maddox list.
Yeah, no, Maddox, I think, is the Signar one that benefits most from the theme force.
Yeah. Quimby?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't.
Quimby is Brian's favorite person.
I like
him. While you're choking that down. I
have had a nice chance with him lately. We've met some times.
There's a Cowboy fan in the Twitch feed, and I want to tell him that was an amazing game. Well done, Cowboys. And I do want to say, I was telling it to Raylene like multiple times during the game, and then even at the end after the game's over, that fucking quarterback has a career and a half in front of him.
Oh, for the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. Ezekiel Elliott is...
Well, Ezekiel Elliott's super good, too.
Fucking insane
but like
running
for,
back.
You know, it was just hilarious, and she's like, who's that? And like they showed Romo on the sidelines, and when they were down 21-3...
I'm like, Romo's got a future?
No.
Surprise!
When they were down 21-3, like, people started talking about, you know, if it keeps going this bad, maybe they put Romo in, and she's like, what's that? And I explained, well, their quarterback was hurt, so some random schmuck started, and he was so amazing, they just never gave Romo his job back.
Yeah.
And he is... That guy's legit.
Yeah, Romo's gone.
Romo's gone. Like he'll probably be second string at his own team, like as he was this whole year. Like they're going to stick with that way, if he's lucky, he gets traded to somebody else. But he's not a starter for the Cowboys anymore. Because holy shit, did they strike gold?
Yeah.
But yeah, so just you know, to a Cowboys player, man, you got a good QB. Watch that guy.
And those are theme forces.
Yeah, that's fine. Fuck those things.
But yeah, no, I think Nathan's point's valid.
Yeah, no, I
also don't believe Travis understands football.
Travis, he's making good points there. Dak is amazing. Their next year's
scary. I feel he's subscribing to the same thing they did in the IT crowd, where someone like posted these things you're supposed to say, and he's just copying things like sports talk from like a website.
They showed a stat. If you remember, like from when we were younger, the Cowboys, they had made the championship game, the NFC championship game, like 16 out of 20 seasons or something, and then maybe it wasn't that many, maybe it was whatever, but the point is
you're talking about the 90s
in the last run? Yeah, and in the last 20 years they haven't made it.
Yeah
and so like back in the 80s and 90s the Cowboys were just unstoppable. They were the Patriots of the time.
Well, except for the 1 year, and I remember this year specifically, when they went 1-15, the Cowboys did, and their only fucking win was against the Packers. I think it was one of our 9-7 seasons.
But like, hey, 80, we'll always have the ice bowl. Like
hmm?
We'll always have the ice bowl.
Oh, yeah.
The Packers and Cowboys will always be a part of history.
It's not really a we.
Excuse you. I am an owner, so I am allowed to say we. If a Cowboys or Patriots fan says we, they are a delusional fan who thinks that their team is part of their life identity. I'm a fucking owner. I'm referring to my company. We won the game today.
You need to go to some stakeholders meetings.
I'm allowed to.
You should.
Yeah.
Be like, I have an idea. Shut the fuck up over there.
You're upvoted 18 billion to one.
Here's your brat.
Yeah. Right. Hey man,
you get a free brat. I'm buying one of those.
I gotta do is drive to Ashwaubenon and I get a free brat. Nice.
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal.
How many teams don't play in the city that they're named after? Like the Green Bay Packers don't play in Green Bay.
No, yeah, they play in,
like
yeah.
How that's got to be unique.
Well, I mean, it depends on the city, because I mean, a lot of cities they can't put them in the actual city; they have to put them in one of the suburbs on the side.
Sure,
I'm sure there's probably a lot in there.
You think so?
Yeah,
like
I'm on the bet.
Denver's in Denver, and Houston is in Houston. Like
Indianapolis, the Metrodome
isn't that in Jersey?
I don't know
the Metrodome.
For the Giants and
the Metrodome. The Jets. They have this thing that goes tick, 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 tick.
No, not the Metronome. The little guy that drives the bus.
What about the Metatone, the angel that speaks for God?
Sure.
Where is he right now?
He's in Supernatural.
Oh, okay. I shouldn't say he because of the whole lack of genitals thing.
Yeah.
Well, he's dead, isn't he?
Alan Rickman's dead.
Well, sure, but he only played the thing. I'm saying if it was real...
Why are you bringing Alan Rickman
up? I didn't bring up Alan Rickman. I brought up the Metatron.
Now we're all sad Alan Rickman died.
Yeah. We're all sad Alan Rickman died.
A year ago.
It's been less than a year.
He died he died in January of 2016. He was one of the starting ones.
He got the ball rolling.
He was pretty early. It was like the 3 weeks in a row.
Oh, with Bowie.
It was Lemmy and then Bowie and then him.
Lemmy was 2015.
That's what I'm saying. It bridged there because it was Lemmy and Bowie and Rickman right in a row.
Like five
and
weeks.
Lemmy was 2015, which is how I know that Bowie and Rickman had to be January because they were right after Lemmy. And so, yeah, that's your correction of me. It was actually my point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You cheated, Dan.
How did Dan cheat?
You told Rick.
No, I didn't.
You didn't? Yeah.
Rick's probably watching.
My hands have
somebody, been, Rick some, is watching our show
somebody
right
mentioned.
Now.
It's Travis.
Oh, fuck you, Travis.
Hey.
You, Dan, you told
you
Travis.
Chocolate motherfucker.
To tell Rick.
Dark chocolate son of a bitch.
Yeah. Oh, well. Packers also don't have cheerleaders, but you know.
They have cheerleaders.
The Green Bay Packers do not have a cheerleading squad. The local high school cheerleaders come to the Packers games, but the Packers do not have
a... So when you're like, hey, those cheerleaders are hot, you're... correct. Check yourself.
I think they have other cheerleaders.
I mean, you're also right.
Yeah.
But do volunteer stuff for them, too. Because I've seen older ones there, too.
Right. But my point is Green Bay does not have a paid cheerleading squad. There's nobody who works for Green Bay as a cheerleader, and they aren't in Green Bay, and... They are publicly owned. There's a lot of unique things about Green Bay.
I'm pretty sure a lot of their workers are cheerleaders. They cheerleaders say, yay, go team.
I don't think that's their job description.
No, but they still do it. That's because they care. Okay. Yay! Zappity Grumbles recommendations.
Do we have a different topic?
I was watching the season finale of Sherlock's new season, and it's
wait, that's out?
It's on my DVR.
What?
It was on A&E's Masterpiece Theater.
Sherlock came out again?
Yeah, season 4.
New season? I don't know season 4 was out.
This year. Yeah.
When did that happen?
I haven't seen any of them today.
The final ones today.
Okay. So have you found out which of the three episodes is terrible yet? Because there's one of the three is terrible every year.
I think in season one,
The Chinese banker is the one people don't like in the first season.
It is the least of them. Whether it's terrible or not, I disagree. But
I am exaggerating. I actually don't think it's a terrible episode, but a lot of people online think that's shit on a plate.
They think the second one and two are bad. I actually don't think they're that bad. And the second one of the third season is my favorite. But this one so far, like all of them.
Good.
Never seen them.
The special, the Corpse Bride one was really good too.
The flashback one,
yeah. It wasn't actually called Corpse Bride, but you know, the dead bride or whatever it was called. Yeah. They're fun.
I think I've watched the first one.
They're good.
Multiple times.
It messes with your head because of the run length, but.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're watching. This is
they're so, all like mini movies,
correct? So well, not even mini; they're 2 hours each.
Yeah, I mean they can do like a 5-act story if they want instead of the 2 or 3-act that you normally.
And
do
each season has a very episode 1 and 2 has some very subtle importance to episode 3. Like this season, especially, there's little things that happen in 1 and 2 that are critical for 3. Even though
spoilers,
well, that's the same every season. That's not really.
Yeah.
All right.
leave it to be a detective show to leave. Hints at the end,
yeah.
During the show, exactly. I mean,
yeah. But yeah, that's all right. I prefer Elementary.
I love Elementary. I'm not.
I love what Elementary did with Moriarty.
Yep,
that was brilliant. Yep. That was way above what that show. Like that show should just be the dumb version of Sherlock.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was actually really good because number one, Watson is much more. Intelligent part of the crew, like as good as the Martin Freeman is, like Watson is still the sidekick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he has his own agency and he has a lot of personality. He's not just whoa, Holmes, you're great. But when it comes to crime solving, Holmes is still the guy that solves all the crime. Yeah. Whereas with Sherlock, they give a lot more to Lucy Liu.
You mean in Elementary
or Elementary rather? Yeah,
they Elementary is worth watching.
But the Moriarty thing was amazing.
They got a few seasons now. Which is it on? Is it on Netflix now or is it on?
It's Hulu.
Hulu? Isn't that Hulu?
Yeah, because my wife was working through Elementary, so I've been in the room with a lot of it playing, so I'm trying to remember exactly the Moriarty angle.
I can tell you now and give a spoiler warning.
Spoil it. It's been out long enough.
Okay, warning.
They're on season
5 or 6, so this is like in season 1. But so there's the two characters who are very pivotal to Sherlock. There's Moriarty, and then there is the woman whose name I'm fucking.
Her name's Natalie because she's from.
Not the actress. I'm talking about the character. That's the important
part. Marjorie, Queen Marjorie.
It's Natalie Dormer from Game of Thrones. Who has alien face and is hot. But the character's name. Anyway, there's the woman. Mm-hmm. They call her capital T, capital W. Who is like his equal. And she's like another kind of off again, on again, somewhat rival, and she's on the bad side of the law, but she's still a good person. And in
Irene Adler
is the character's name. And in Elementary, it turns out they're the same person, and she's just playing him. Like the Moriarty character is pretending to be this Irene Adler just to fuck with Sherlock, and it was brilliant to combine those two characters into one character.
And the way they wrote it was very. They just did it very well.
Yeah, they did a really good job. It was like jaw droppingly. Shockingly
good.
Show's
full of good actors too, which is great.
And a turtle. I'm sorry, a tortoise.
True.
And someone knitted a little dinosaur costume in one episode. It was adorable. Listen, we don't have a lot of topics, and I don't want a 45-minute episode, so I'm going to talk about Sherlock, goddammit.
I love Elementary, and I like Sherlock. Listen, they're both very enjoyable. Although
they are both well done.
I haven't stayed super current Elementary. I watch it a lot still because I like the actors a lot, but I think the show, it isn't quite...
I think Sherlock is better, but Elementary is still enjoyable.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The reason I bring up the Moriarty thing is Elementary is the popcorn one, right? Mm-hmm. It's just the whatever, and you know, marathon a couple episodes, then don't watch it for 6 months, and then catch up when you feel like it and you're bored, and it's easy watching. So to see it do something that smart was amazing.
Yeah, and they said that Watson is much more of a real character. They do better with it. Well, because it's a TV show, they're able to really stretch things out.
And the thing about both these being good is that as far as the original stories go, like, Sherlock Holmes is one of my most hated characters/series in literature.
I think it's Keith's favorite.
I despise the Sherlock Holmes stories.
I think Keith thinks he is Sherlock.
Keith loves it. You and Keith should sit down and discuss Sherlock Holmes.
Well, the thing is...
The books.
And I've had a long discussion about this. There's a discussion on this going on one of the forums. And the difference boils down to is... some people like mystery novels or stories or TV shows or whatever as like this magic trick where the magician does this amazing thing and you go, holy shit, that was amazing. And then you go on with your life. And it doesn't matter how he did the trick. It just matters seeing them be amazing. Otherwise, there's people who watch it and they want to fucking play along. Like, they want a puzzle that they can solve. They want to read the details and go, oh, I got it. That's the thing. I figured it out. And that's part of the pleasure.
And too many Sherlock books, they leave out that
100% element of Sherlock books. It is impossible to fairly solve any of the fucking Sherlock Holmes stories. Because every single one, at the end, he's like, I solved it because of this clue that I never mentioned. Every goddamn time. Yeah. They cheat, and it's infuriating to me. Whereas the Agatha Christie novels, like the Poirot and the Miss Marple or whatever, it was always there. And if you were thinking and if you knew what was going on, you could always technically solve it. Now, they were well-written enough that you wouldn't always solve it, but it was fair. And since I read them as a puzzle, the fact that the Sherlock Holmes ones, as I said, cheated just infuriated me.
I'm way too stupid of a person to figure out mysteries like that, so I enjoy to go the Sherlock route because that way I know there was never a chance for me.
So you don't feel dumb.
But if I read like an Agatha Christie, I'd be like, well, I know there's a chance, but I have no idea what it is, so therefore I'm an idiot.
But and even not figuring out, like look at Fight Club. Nobody figures out Fight Club the first time they watch it. Nobody. But the second time you watch Fight Club, it's obvious as hell and you feel like a moron for never noticing it.
Sure, sure.
I mean, and I like that. Like, even if you can't figure it out, it's cool to know that you could have.
Yeah. I can't disagree with
that. I'll say, the Sherlock method destroys rereadability, whereas the Agatha Christie one, you can read it a second time going, here's all the stuff I missed. At least
the Sherlock shows, they do it kind of the way you're describing. Sometimes it's not, but half the time, they actually have the nuggets along the way.
And the movies as well. Like, all the modern Sherlock stuff has been fair. It's the original, like, go back 15 years before any of this modern shit existed, and I hated everything Sherlock.
Sure.
But all the new stuff, I like Elementary, I like Sherlock, I like the Guy Pearce movies. Guy Ritchie movies. Sorry. The third one's coming out soon.
They're entertaining. They're action fun Sherlocks.
Well, I like the writing of Sherlock is as well done of the British one. It's very witty. Moffat, who writes it, does best when he has shorter when he can focus and not ramble too long. He does great
episodes, terrible seasons.
Correct. So he's able to write short, and since this is only three episodes, he's able to really stress it out. And that's why the last season of Doctor Who was so good, because they made the entire season two episodes instead of a season long arc. It was just 2-2-2-2-2.
Yep.
And it made it so much better because that's where his strengths lie.
Right. Although even then they tried to randomly make the whatchamajigger be a thing, the hybrid be a thing, and it's like, no, the hybrid's not a thing.
No.
Who plays Watson in the movies? In
it's
Iron Man movies.
Yes,
it's
whoever that is.
Judd
Nelson.
No.
Judd Hirsch.
No, it's
Judy Garland.
No,
Ashley Judd. The point is, he wanted the third movie to involve a time traveling hat. No, not a hat. He changed it to a drug. You would take a drug
Jude Law. Pulp. He's a pulp.
Oh, I wasn't even looking at that, so that's not me.
He's the Pope.
He's the young Pope, which is being recorded on my DVR right now.
But the new Pope thingy?
The young Pope, yeah.
Yeah.
That looks interesting.
It's an HBO show miniseries. It's going to be amazing. I have no idea what it's about other than he's kind of a dick young Pope. That's all I know. See, Homeland new season starts tonight. My DVR is so full.
Yeah, I think
is hard.
Homeland is racist. The graffiti on Homeland tells you this.
It was just hilarious.
Which is the fucking hilarious thing. That's why you don't hire people to write graffiti for your show that you can't read, because then they just call your show racist on your own show.
That's good shit. They deserve that. I mean, that's
they did. It's fucking hilarious.
I still enjoy the show, but that's hilarious.
Arabic graffiti.
Yeah. They wanted Arabic graffiti on a set, and so the people who wrote the graffiti just wrote "Homeland is racist" in Arabic, and so. It's great. Like, whether or not they're racist, you know, that's an argument to have. But the fact that that's on the show is fucking amazing. I'm sure they CGI'd it out of the DVDs by now, kind of like the President Bush mask on Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I have the Blu-ray of that.
Which still had the Bush mask before they had to recall him.
You couldn't even tell.
You could not tell. If they had not mentioned it in a random interview, nobody ever would have known.
Yeah.
Yeah. To clarify, all they did was they had like a head cast of George Bush. They ended up using as one of the
mask.
Yeah, it was just used as one of the pike heads.
Yeah, they just they went to a Halloween store, bought like 10 random masks, dipped them in tar, and threw them on some sticks. And one of them was W.
Yeah, the ones because it was tar, you couldn't tell. They just needed masks.
Yep.
But Yeah.
People got sensitive. But I get it.
I mean, arguably, you have the severed head of the president. Like,
yeah,
exactly. People
still yeah. alive. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, whatever. Yeah. Exactly. You just don't, yeah.
But whatever. True Woo-hoo. Story. Zappity. More time killed.
Yeah.
Do we have Zappity Grumbles? Did people send in questions?
Nobody sends us questions anymore.
Nobody sends us questions
anymore. Oh, actually, that does remind me. I do have one from a few weeks ago that was never answered that okay. I can just ask Nathan live.
I didn't wind my watch, so actually we've killed more time than I thought we had. Let me fix my watch.
Oh, perfect.
What? I think I saw your question. I mm-hmm. think I may have answered it. I don't remember.
No, you said we're sorry we missed it.
Oh, right. yeah. I did so say that. Yep, I remember saying
Here's a question coming at you live, Nathan. That's why watches are stupid. You have to wind a watch. All right,
yeah, but it's fucking sexy. Like, this thing gets me laid.
All right, so you ready, Nathan?
Yeah.
So, who is the better New Year's Eve host, Pitbull or Mariah Carey?
Mariah Carey? Does she host New Year's Eve now? Does she?
You didn't hear about this, did you?
Her freaking her FUBAR thing. Yeah.
Well,
Mariah Carey has never personally fucked me out of the New Year's countdown, so I'm going with her. Also, she gets the edge because in my lifetime, I have masturbated to her way more frequently.
Than Pitbull?
Than Pitbull, yes. Yes. I've only masturbated to him like maybe twice.
He's in the Waterfalls video, right?
That's TLC.
Yeah. Isn't she part of TLC?
No.
I can't tell them apart.
There's one where she's on a jet ski and like a gold jumpsuit that's all open. Like
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, there's yeah. And then there's one where she fights herself in a movie theater and both versions of herself are super hot. And it's, you know, Mariah Carey was important to me 20 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, her issue that she had over New Year's Eve isn't really exactly her fault.
No.
Entirely.
No.
That was like a communication issue with the earpiece not working.
Did she do a jig
working?
Like Ashley Simpson did on SNL?
Well, she never actually started lip syncing anything.
Oh, okay.
There because there was no sound coming through her earpiece, so they were just playing just normal music at the time. Yeah, but
have any of us played Seafall?
I own Seafall. I want to start it. It's just one of those campaign games where you need like the four people willing to play it for, you know, because once you start it, you don't want to stop. And I haven't like had like I just haven't felt I had the right motivation to start it up yet.
I'm a little worried. Adam and I listened to Dice Tower's year-end review,
yeah.
And they talked about a whole bunch of the big games, and they said that they were sad because Seafall didn't grab them. Like they played three or four sessions,
yeah.
And it just, you know, they just eventually just stopped playing.
True.
But they both said they really wanted to like it, so maybe it's just, who knows?
It's hard to say. I mean, those guys, that's kind of the game that those people should probably like. I heard there was people playing it down at our game store last week, and they were like in their first or second game, and they were having fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely want to, because I want to play with people who are willing to play four or five games regardless, and that feel like, you know, hopefully people after five games, everyone's having fun.
Yeah.
But I don't want to play
maybe
like
play it alternate Sundays.
Yeah, I just want to do it like 2 weeks and be like, I'll give up after two because games like that have to develop quite a bit. Like
correct.
Week 10 of Pandemic Legacy was dramatically different than week 3. I mean, to be fair, we enjoyed right. all of it though.
Well, and that's what we did with fucking Risk. We played that twice and then stopped, which was yeah, unfortunate.
Which it still makes me sad. But that was all.
We need to pick that up.
That was other situations. Sure.
I mean, people weren't able to do it anymore, and I mean, there's scheduling and some whatever. There was shit going on. But the point is I have a mostly mint copy of Risk Legacy in my basement that we yeah. still need to pick up and finish.
Yeah.
Especially since all of us at various times have mentioned that we're sad that we haven't continued to play that. So we don't have an excuse because I know at least the three of us here who were involved in it originally want to play it some more.
Yeah.
Well, now that I know I can claim Catbug for
yeah, Catbug's yours.
Yeah,
only
my,
you
my
can
city.
Start in Catbug.
Yeah, I know. Season 3 of Bravest Warriors is out.
There you go.
Or starting.
What about Puppy Cat and Bee?
Who cares?
What? People love Puppy Cat and Bee.
Who cares? It's not Bravest Warriors.
Do we have any more Zappity Grumbles?
Dan was pissing himself about something on the...
There is one.
It's not a great one.
No, but it'll do.
It'll do. What? Take that, not great
one. I'll even... Do you want to say it, Dan?
You can read it.
Oh, I already know what it says.
All right. So what is your favorite kind of Zappity Grumble?
Not that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that one. Ones that let me talk about things that are fun. I don't know.
We haven't really...
I like board game
questions. We're kind of coming off of like the entire year of... Or the entire month of December were very inconsistent of when we actually started broadcasting.
Yeah.
And then leading into January where we have Packer games every fucking Sunday
night.
Well,
and it's winter. Like, man, it's like... I just don't... It's hard for me. I mean, I've been more on Sundays lately. But, man, sometimes like I could just stay home because it's Sundays. and I'm lazy. But we're back into the swing of things, people. We're kicking some butt, taking some names.
And, I mean, hopefully next week we'll have Scornerata to talk about, and that'll be great.
It'll be something.
Brian will care about this game again.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I still...
Or Brian won't show up ever again. That is what we will decide this
week. I could even like it and still not play it. Like, I don't dislike Scorn now and War Machine now. I'm just not playing it because it wouldn't make any sense in my brain. But
well, that's the thing is, like, once the errata's out, you won't have that. Like, I fully understand and support that because the way your brain works, anything you learn playing for the last 2 months was pointless. You wasted your time because it's useless knowledge.
Yeah.
But once the errata comes out, that's going to be the quote-unquote permanent version of Scorn, and so that won't be how your brain works anymore.
Well, I'll have to look at it. Even if it's great Scorn, even if, let's just assume the errata's smart and they make this great faction, I still have to decide, is playing this great faction in War Machine better than playing board games most of the time? Like, I still have to divide. My brain still has to divide.
Or your normal crack addiction.
Yeah, exactly. I got Star Wars Destiny going on now.
Star Wars Destiny.
That's a very...
He tried. I was with him when he was getting another person addicted to Star Wars Destiny, and he happened to drag me along with that too. It's like, hey, do you want to go to Pegasus over lunch? I'm like,
John wanted to buy some Destiny.
Okay. And then they basically just went to the back of the store and bought Destiny.
I got the whole card. I have every card already. I'm set. I'm set until like
next edition.
Yeah, I'm set to April. Perfect.
Do you have all the cards that you need?
I have two of every card that exists for the game right now.
How many are you allowed to play?
Well, a deck has 30 cards, but there's 160 but total.
How many of any card are you allowed to put in a deck?
Two.
Okay. So two of every card is the literal
list. Now, there's heroes and villains in neutral.
You have to read the Zap.
I should own four of each neutral, but I'm not going that far.
Are there variations?
There will be.
For like tournament play where they bring out some kind of new character for those?
No, but I mean, there will be like alternate versions of characters over time.
Okay.
So
we have a new Zappity Grumble, which is, who is your favorite hero from a comic, why, and how did you discover them?
Ha Ha Comics count?
I don't know what Ha Ha Comics count. Oh, like if...
Garfield?
Yeah, like if Garfield's your favorite quote-unquote hero.
That's a good question. I'm thinking
it's almost good for an episode itself.
Great question. Too. I was I'll go back to like the first hero I remember really being a huge fan of, like when I was 9 or 10 and first like discovered comics. It was the X-Men at the time, were my big comic intro. I don't remember how I found my first one. I just picked up a random comic somewhere and it happened to be an X-Men comic. But it was the Mohawk era Storm. And she was cool. She was my girl. I loved her. Her personality was cool. I liked, the concept of her powers were really interesting. How they used them were interesting. I liked her personality at the time, where she was coming to terms with a lot of shit. But I've always been a huge Storm fan, which is why I hate Halle Berry so much.
I might have to really appreciate Tulip from Preacher. I think it's episode 10. One of the main characters gets killed, and it starts off with God appearing, bringing that person back to life in front of Tulip, and he's like, look what I've done for you. And she's like, fuck you, you cocksucker. Because he's just trying to be like special. She just calls him on his shit.
Eat a dick, God.
And it's like, well, that's just amazing. She's
of yours, Yahweh.
Yeah, so it was just the scenario was just so ridiculous because he was grandstanding and she called him on it. It was just ridiculous. So that was pretty amazing.
So you're a Constantine fan then too?
You know, I didn't realize. Here's my Jeremy moment. I always wanted to read Hellblazer, but I always liked the Constantine character. I didn't realize John Constantine was
the main character in Hellblazer.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that's amazing. It took me years to figure that out. Like well past Keanu Reeves movie. Like just within the last 2 years, I figured this out.
Like during the series, the television show.
I was like, wait a minute. I tried reading the comic because it's supposed to be really good, but man, it's like I can't read. There's some point where comics are too old. My brain's like, quality is just so poor. It's written well, but like it's just drawn bad. And I'm not saying it's bad.
It's not like it's 8-bit drawing back then.
It feels kind of 8-bit drawing to me.
There's a style. I mean, there's a difference. The newsprint and like the.
It's the style. I mean, they went for a style and they achieved their style. But I looked at it, I'm like, man, that's a child.
You can tell what decade a given comic is from. And so I can understand if he doesn't like the art style from like the late 70s to early 90s before the McFarlane switch happened.
But because Preacher is better than that. It's not a huge. I mean, because it's just different. But I thought it'd be like Preacher level quality because it kind of came at the same time. This was because Preacher came out after Hellblazer or during. So I expected the same level of quality.
Hellblazer's been around. The Constantine character's been around. Because when did Neil Gaiman do the whole Sandman run originally?
It was 80s.
Yeah, because Constantine's in those.
I guess I didn't know.
Yeah, and so the character of Constantine's been around for a long time. Well, like series comes and goes, you know, because it'll be like, it's a Swamp Thing as a series will just happen again. You know, once in a while they recycle a character.
It's like Moon Knight.
Yeah.
It's not drawn as well as Lady Death is all I'm saying.
A new character I've discovered that's really interesting, speaking of Moon Knight, but not really, although I think...
Noon Knight?
Noon Knight, yeah, he only fights crime at high noon.
It's dark out. At noon.
I've only discovered him recently because everybody jerks off over Deadpool constantly, mm-hmm. is the Taskmaster. The Taskmaster's really cool.
Fuck you! I was honestly going to say that Taskmaster? You just stole Taskmaster from me.
I'm sorry,
I
stole Taskmaster. Well, I'll let you go into Taskmaster then.
He's an amazing character. Somebody who can...
but like his powers and stuff. Tell us about Taskmaster.
Well, his powers are he can mimic anything.
Yep.
He studies it enough. He fights exactly like Captain America.
He has instant study.
Reflexive memory.
Yeah. So anything he sees, he instantly knows permanently forever. And so if you throw a punch at him, he now knows how you do a right hook. And so he can adapt in the middle of a fight and learn all your moves and do them just as well back to you / know the counters. And so, yeah.
He's a character who would be an amazing superhero, but instead he trains supervillain henchmen is basically what he does.
Yes. He sometimes does nice. He's like the Deadpool thing where, you know, sometimes he does nice things.
Sometimes. But he's generally he gets paid well from
who
villains.
Who does he work for? What is DC Marvel?
He's Marvel.
He's Marvel. Because he and Deadpool are BFFs a lot of the times now. Okay. They're in each other's comics a lot.
He's generally around Captain America, and I think he's been in Daredevil a few times.
He's fought Spider-Man. I mean, he shows up. He used to be a random mook that would show up randomly. Yeah, he forgets how to see when he's around Daredevil. But he used to be... No, he'll kick the fuck out of Daredevil because he's just as good as Kung Fu, and he has eyes, which it turns out is a handy thing to have. But he used to show up like in the 80s and stuff. He's one of those like random mooks that people have kind of elevated recently, which I like when authors do that. You know, they see these people who showed up every once in a while in the 70s and 80s just so that there would be a one-off villain for Spider-Man to nut punch. And then they're like, well, what if they make them actually super good, like super legitimately powerful? Like they did that with DC did that with Professor Light, not the Mega Man guy, but the he's got a death mask. He's cool looking. Yeah, that's why Moon Knight reminded me, because he's all silver and has a cape.
Yeah.
But I like when people do that, when they take like an old random crony that nobody gives a shit about and actually reimagine
An obscure character and then kind of really...
Yeah.
It's kind of similar like what they... Well, kind of ended it right away, though, but like Kraven.
Yeah, when they did Kraven's Last Hunt.
Yeah. Which that's...
What about fucking Dr. Octopus as Spider-Man? Talk about reimagining shit. Which Spider-Man is that? Like the Uncanny or the Ultra? It's one of the many Spider-Mans is actually Dr. Octopus.
Yeah, for quite a while.
You furrow your brow. Have you not seen that one? It's Dr. Octopus like mind transfers into Peter Parker's body and then kills the Dr. Octopus body with Peter Parker in it. So Parker's just fucking dead. So Spider-Man is just Dr. Octopus as Spider-Man.
Okay.
And just he's laying low. And what's hilarious is, so number one, he has to avoid like any psionic people. Like, you know, he's like, hey, we're friends, we shouldn't read each other's minds. Oh, please God, don't read my mind. But he's just fucking murdering people because he's got the spider strength and he just like rips people's heads off. And he's like, whoa, this guy's strong. And so now the village are like, fuck, Spider-Man murders people now. And of course, he's a better Spider-Man than Spider-Man ever was because it's an interesting thing. It's superior. The superior Spider-Man. Yeah.
I have not seen
that. Yeah, it's cool.
Well, it's similar thing, though, too, with Kraven and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
In that same book.
Instead of just a costume, it's literally a mind transfer. Yeah. That's what made me think about it, is the Kraven pretending to be Spider-Man. But it's permanent.
And doing better than Spider-Man. Yeah. Damn you. Seriously, I was thinking Taskmaster. I remember paging through a Captain America.
Technically an invalid answer because he's not a hero.
Well, who cares?
Fair enough.
In actually, how I found him was I had the giant Marvel tech book that had like the listing of all the characters and kind of like a brief history, their stats and all that. It was just he just looks cool.
Yeah,
he had the Captain America shield. He had a cloak. He had a skull face. Yeah,
he's cool.
Him or Scourge? I like the idea of Scourge. Just a vigilante that all he did was just kill villains. I think it's like Captain America 316 or 317 where he kills off, I think, like 30 villains.
They do that in Venture Brothers.
Just cleans house.
he goes, yeah, it's very similar to that, but he shows up at a bar and he just kills almost all these like no-name villains. In fact, the best part about that book too is
a no-name verse of a no-name villain, like a regular dude.
It was like the Ringer.
All right.
Yeah. Fucking like the Toy Master or whatever.
The Quill, I think, was one of those.
Oh boy.
He was like a porcupine guy.
Yeah, you're going to die. You're not anybody's arch nemesis. You just get to die in a bar. But
he killed like 30 some guys in those two episodes, in those two issues.
Dan, what's your answer?
I'm trying to think, because my favorite comic book is Kingdom Come, and that's a little too much of an ensemble cast to really have anyone stand out. So
you don't have a favorite character in Kingdom Come?
Well, Magog, but he's not really a hero. I mean, but he does the correct thing, which is shoot the Joker in the face.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But so I'm gonna instead go with one of the old Dark Horse Star Wars books, Boba Fett, where he has a fight with Darth Vader, which involves kicking him off a cliff and shooting him in the face, and Fett survives.
Fett kicked Vader off a cliff?
Yes.
Nice.
So first of all, Fett's the second best Star Wars bounty hunter.
Fair.
So, you know.
Bosk. Yeah, IG-88 is better.
IG-88.
Well, IG-88's...
I know.
Literally the Death Star. Yeah. That's the greatest thing ever. But I like Magog's plotline in... not the shooting the Joker in the face. Oh, yeah, well, he does... That's in that, too. But the whole, like, the nuclear... Yeah. Magog's very interesting in Kingdom Come. Yeah.
Yeah. I just like that one, too, just because it actually shows a good representation of Superman, where he's like... I'm immortal. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like Dr. Manhattan, where he's an immortal being, and they take away his one reason for caring.
Yeah. Yeah. When you have a literal god, and then he's like, all right, you know what? Fuck you then. Like, you have to be worried what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not much of a DC fan, so I don't know.
Kingdom Come
I will loan you
Kingdom Come. You should.
Is that what the one Star Wars the one video game was based off, or Superman Goes Crazy, or is that different?
He doesn't go crazy necessarily. Like what it is is spoiler: Kansas gets nuked, and so
they rip Captain Atom apart.
A guy who is literally a nuclear, like his powers come.
Yeah,
from
I know. Captain Atom.
He explodes. Yeah, Kansas.
Yeah. The basic gist is Kingdom Come is after everyone from like the Golden Silver era of comic books, it's their kids.
Sure.
Are them also proliferation. Yeah. Like instead of being 1 out of 100 people has some semblance of powers, it's like half the people. And they're just getting in gang fights on the streets, so there's just all these people everywhere. And then Kansas gets nukes, and so finally Superman's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just putting all of you in super jail.
Yeah. In Kansas.
Yeah. He just builds like a super jail, and he just starts kidnapping everybody and shoving them in there. And he's like, you're in there forever.
Well, okay. In that video game, basically, the Joker tricks him into killing Lois Lane.
Yep.
So then he goes pretty much batshit
crazy.
Injustice.
In this one, the Joker kills Lois Lane. Superman arrests him. He somehow gets acquitted in the trial or something like that, and Magog just walks out.
He's probably found not guilty by reason of mental insanity, right? So they're going to take him into the funny wagon.
He walks
wagon
out,
again.
And then Magog just walks up and shoots him in the face.
Yep. And then out murders him.
Yeah, and Superman's like,
I'm the new hero.
I'm done. Yeah. Yeah, and they don't, and, yeah.
Who's Magog?
He's just a dude. Yeah. He's just a guy. He's
just a metahuman.
Right. He's a metahuman, you know, almost as, he's another one of those almost as strong as Superman guys.
Wrong. So, he shoots him, the Joker kills him, and then the jury lets him out, basically jury nullification.
Yeah, the jury nullifies and it and says, sure, we didn't see anything, and Superman's pissed about a murderer going free.
Yeah, so that's why Superman just flies off and leaves for 15 years.
Yeah. But no, it's great because, like, Magog, like, he's kind of a villain in this thing because he's a murderer and he's this punk ass. He's like, this is the new way things are done to Superman. We just murdered the bad guys so they can't do it again, blah, blah, blah. And then by the end, he's just, like, in tears, like, and he's so depressed that Superman abandoned him so that he had to be like that. Like, he wanted to be truth, justice, and freedom and everything, but just things were so bad without Superman that the only thing he knew how to do was just keep murdering people. It's an interesting character.
Well, yeah. So when you have a character like Superman, you have to. He's so limited because he can do everything, and you have to do all these other things around him to make it interesting.
Yeah, the best Superman is the
off-star. He's boring. So the
that
story
one,
around him has to be interesting.
Red Steel or whatever it is. Yeah, where, that one's good.
Red Sun, isn't it?
Red.
Yeah. Where he lands in Soviet Union instead of America.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's called Red Sun. But S O N. It's a pun.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, because Superman's just boring. He's boring and shit. So you have to find an interesting thing to do with him. I think currently he's in the middle of a decade-long walk across America because J. Michael Straczynski likes symbolism.
Yeah. Zappity.
Which war machine slash horse caster would make a good Marvel hero slash villain?
We're thinking.
I mean, you got the full-on Skeletor vibe from somebody like Gaspy.
Or just all the, pretty much most of the Chris casters are just, you know, they could work as like a circle of 16 or 17 or something like that. I don't know.
I mean, any of them could be argued to be a good one. Yeah.
I'm Bradigus. My superpower is I throw rocks.
Hey, you know, sure. I mean, yeah, he's rock man. Look at me throw rocks. I'm stone person.
My villain is glass house.
Good job. Yeah, Dr. Arcadius is just a straight up, you know, monster. Well, he's scientist.
Yeah. I think McBain would be the hero. McBain is he's the Tom Selleck of the world.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right, they all could have their own.
We're series. Falling apart here, people.
Falling apart. Recommendations.
Recommend something.
I recommend it's only got 6 episodes, so it's a quick marathon to just watch on Hulu. But there is a British show called Wasted. If you enjoy things like Always Sunny in Philadelphia or Curb Your Enthusiasm, where the protagonists are shitheads, you would like Wasted.
Or the OA.
Or Wasted is about like 4 20-something, you know, kids who are just drunk and high all the time, and they're shitheads. I mean, it's really like an Always Sunny kind of thing. It does. The reason that we watched it, really didn't watch it just because it had Sean Bean in it, and it turns out it has Sean Bean as Boromir as somebody's subconscious. Like, one of the characters, whenever he goes into his subconscious mind, it's Sean Bean as himself dressed as Boromir, giving him advice about life. So it's Sean Bean as Boromir.
That's
yeah.
Sort of sold me on the show.
Yeah, I mean, that's enough. Like, every time, and Sean Bean's great in it. And every time there's a Sean Bean, so, like, there's a time where, like, the kid's like, man, summer's kind of over, don't you think? And he's just like, oh, fuck off. It's like, wouldn't you say? He's like, I'm not going to say it. Go fuck yourself. And he just walks away. It's great. But yeah, Sean Bean as Boromir as a kid's subconscious is definitely worth the price of admission. It's only 6 episodes, and it's got that Always Sunny in Philadelphia, all the main characters are asshole vibed.
It's like Shameless, but instead of 7 seasons, it's just 6
episodes. Yeah. And it's way more, it's very, it's less straight-faced. Like, they do stuff, like, one of the episodes, they're going on, like, a quest, because Sean Bean told me he had to go do this thing. And so, like, the shots between scenes are literally, like, them traveling on an 8-bit, like, Mega Man board to, sure, like, the next area. And it's a real over-the-top shit happens. It's very...
The Sean Bean die.
Yeah. I won't tell you whether Sean Bean dies, but it is Sean Bean. One of the characters does bring up. He's like, you know, you need to die because you're Sean Bean. And he's like, yeah, fair enough. So it does address Sean Bean dying and everything.
Nice, which is pretty cool. All right, Andy?
What?
We're going this way.
I stalled time.
We're going this way. What?
We always go Andy Wittershins.
I don't know if I announced it before, the Expanse.
Season 2 starts end of the month.
Season 2 starts at the end of the month. If you recorded the Expanse Expanded, which is like their sci-fi like thing, like prelude up to the new season, avoid it. It's the worst.
Well, does it remind me what I liked season one, but I forgot everything that happened. So does it remind me what happened in season one?
No, just watch season one again.
All right, fair enough.
Seriously, the prelude, the Expanse Expanded, because it's hosted by what's the other Mythbuster? I cannot think of
Adam. Adam Savage.
Yeah, it's hosted by him, and I thought it was going to be really awesome. I thought it was going to have a lot of really cool stuff behind the scenes. Nope, it's all hype train. Like one of the things they shove down your throat, which I'm not trying to shove down your throat. What are you showing?
This is somebody with an entire bicep tattoo that says Super Bowl 51 champions with the Dallas Cowboys star.
Jeez, all right.
He tweeted it out for the game and said, "Hey, Dallas, it's official now. Don't let me down."
They let him down. But
yeah, they let him down.
Don't believe the hype in the commercials. It's a really good sci-fi flick. The commercials are trying to play it off as like, it's Battlestar Galactica meets Game of Thrones. They're like, no, it's not that. It's its own. It's a really good show.
Well, that's how they advertise it for season one, too. It was the same. Well, it's...
They didn't advertise it. I barely saw anything for season one. I got
the exact same. It was the exact same thing they did for season one. Battlestar meets Game of Thrones. Well, I mean, because it's in space, and they switch around characters and locations like Game of Thrones does, so it's just... And, you know,
it,
so.
It does involve politics.
Yeah,
it so, does. But, yeah, just watch the first season. It's on Amazon Prime right now. I don't know if it's available for any other streaming service, but... It's really good. I'm sure that Sci-Fi will run a marathon before season two starts. And it's on fucking Sci-Fi. And who would have thought a good show would come off of that channel?
They got some interesting things now then.
I mean, like something like The Expanse, though?
Yeah.
Have you...
They need Seinfeld time they between Sharknado 3 and 4. Ben Affleck
sponsored one. Matt Damon, that show was on like last year. Last few months was really popular, too.
Oh, that did? Oh. That's...
But... There's been the title, but anyway, this.
I guess I don't give sci-fi enough chance, but
you're too busy watching your.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Dan,
you leave my Judge Judy out of this.
Judge Judy is the third best daytime judge on Fox.
I know.
All right, my recommendation.
But it's a tight three, like it's real close.
It's really, really Andy. Tight.
I'm not saying she's a distant third. I just love Mathis and Million.
She's the most. She is the most ornery of the three, though.
She is, unless you really piss off Marilyn Million. She will she will go angry Hispanic woman on you, and yeah. Nothing is sassier than an angry Hispanic woman.
Correct. But on...
I've never been happier that I had a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
But on a regular basis, though.
If your 9-to-5 gives... job had a break room with a television, that TV is always on Fox, and it's always... During between 9-to-5, Fox shows nothing but four judge shows looping over and over and over again.
It is, if you want the most sass for your half hour break,
sure, consistent it's, sass. It's, you got
it's
Judy. Just,
it's Judy.
But Mathis is a pimp, and I love Mathis just talking pimp talk. And then Million is the she gets sassy.
God, he's better TV to watch.
There's nothing better than
go
than,
through your DVR and watch Sherlock. Anyway,
I don't have a DVR in the break room at work.
Oh my god. Anyway, Dan, save us with your recommendation.
All right, so this is a documentary that is now on Amazon Prime. It is called Reclaiming the Blade. It is about European swords and European martial arts. And how they've rediscovered it over the past 15, 20 years and realized that people fighting in armor actually knew a lot of what they were doing.
Sure.
And, you know, all the different things they were doing and how it compares to, like, movie sword fighting and stuff like that. It's really good. It's very enjoyable. I saw it a few years ago when I was on Netflix, and then it went off for a few years, and now I just randomly ran across it the other night. And
it's on Amazon. They talk a lot about, like, the reverse grip is it short grip that's called when you, like, take it and you hold the grip, the blade, and just stab people and get the extra force behind? And, yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff that people – we just see the knight going like this back and forth.
Up to a point is the worst possible thing. You're just breaking the sword edge and you'll never cut through armor.
But yeah.
Instead, you punch him with the handle, knock him down, step on his face, and then stab him. Put your whole weight into it.
Yeah. Which would probably be pretty cool to watch in a movie. People actually,
you guys. Well,
grab the blade and then like they hook people's ankle with the handle with the pommel guard and shit. Like it's real interesting stuff that people do as opposed to just I slash at you.
Yeah. Well, and there's even one point they're talking about how there's a Shakespeare play where the stage directions have two people basically grabbing each other's swords and spinning around.
Sure.
And they had a guy's like, I never thought this was possible until we actually tried it and then realized that was a natural thing that happened.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, if you have a metal glove, I mean...
Well it's kind of like they a few years even prior to this, is the guy that did the whole thing about reimagining using a bow. Remember, there's that big thing that's over the internet. It's like, actually, when you see like this whole thing around, I'm like, that's wrong. Like, it's all like you hold shorter and you do half pulls and your quiver would be sideways down here. And it was just like way different. But this guy's shooting like 50 shots a minute and like it's different.
Yeah, if you're fighting unarmored troops, why do a 200-pound draw?
Right. Yeah. And he did a similar, I'm sure in Reclaiming the Blade, it's similar, but they did stuff like he looked at... you see the dude like this in the artwork and you're like, oh, that must be how they did. But that's just the longbowmen when they're still a mile away. If you look at 90% of the art, these people are like holding it differently and their stance is different. And it's way more common to see them like that. And so he started practicing with that same stance and the same way with the blade.
On my other, they do at the end, I don't remember all the movies, but they even talk about some of the stuff that's starting to show up with more realistic fighting styles. And they have stuff like Troy and Gladiator, and then there's another one I don't remember the name of, but it has like really realistic Renaissance era fencing in it, where they talk about how most of the fights are really short because everyone's being very cautious, because back then you get slashed open, you're dying.
Yeah,
you're dead. If you survive the fight, you're going to die of gangrene in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I saw a video for, I watched a compilation of like 10 trailers for games that were going to come out in 2017 or whatever. And one of them is supposed to be like a Dark Souls style, you know, but it's the new one. It's going to totally be better than Dark Souls. Like everyone that failed prior has claimed they're going to be better than Dark Souls. And people are shitting themselves because during the fight scene, and this is actual like moves, you know, that you do, it wasn't a cinematic, the character flipped the blade, hooked a guy, kicked him off a cliff, and then rotated and holding the blade, you know, full punch through like plate mail with the half grip, and everybody's like, ah, fucking realistic sword fighting. So yeah, like you said, mm-hmm. It's making a comeback where they're showing that stuff in media now.
Well, not is it cool, it's realistic, but that stuff actually sounds cool to see.
Yeah,
so versus like,
ching, ching.
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing, I mean, I want to see that with lightsabers, so that's okay, but you know, I'm, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's I'll have to check this out.
Mm-hmm. It's an enjoyable, like, what's 2 hours, I think.
Documentary called again?
Reclaiming the Blade.
All right.
I'm going to... Season 3 of The Walking Dead has come out, so people should play that. Only the first
Telltale.
Two. Telltale Games, Season 3 of The Walking Dead. Only the first two are out, but the first two came out together. They're kind of, like, putting them out in clusters now, which is kind of neat. It's weird because in the first one you play a character, and the second one you play Clementine, who's really the coolest character, yeah. And the third one you play two characters. You rotate between Clementine and this other person.
That sounds super interesting because that was one of my favorite things about the Tales from the Borderlands one.
Yes,
was seeing the story from different point of views and switching back and forth.
This isn't quite the same, but because that one did it bad. That's still my favorite. I think still my they're all my favorite.
They're all our favorite.
I'm gonna pick up the Batman one really soon because it's fully out.
Are you gonna pick up the Minecraft one?
You know what? But I want to say no, but they make everything so good. I might, but I'm gonna pick up the Batman.
You'll wait till it's $4 on Steam, though.
But I will probably buy it.
If it's under $10, it's worth buying, even if it's terrible.
Yeah, you'll get enjoyment out of it.
And the thing is, they're so good. Like, even though there's no plot to Minecraft, maybe they make it work. Who knows?
I mean, I got Wolf Among Us just because it was Telltale, and that blew my mind how enjoyable that was.
Yeah,
because
you had never even read the Fable comics.
Yeah, I had no concept.
I was a big fan of the Fable comics, and I didn't even know about it. You were on it before me because you're such a Telltale fan.
Yeah, Game of Thrones. Now, Game of Thrones is the most brutal thing we've done, which is ridiculous.
What? Something with Ramsay Bolton in it was brutal?
Yeah. I don't know if they're doing a season two of that or not. I don't know if they got the rights.
With Ramsay's corpse just laying there?
Yeah, that'd be great.
But, it's just 5 episodes of pissing on his corpse.
Well, see, episode 2 of that starts off at the Red Wedding. You're like, well, this is not good for the characters I'm playing right now.
Well, if you're playing a fray, it's not as bad.
Yeah, but no, Walking Dead season 3 is pretty cool, and people should play that because Telltale makes such beautiful games.
Well, sure. And when episode 3 comes out, you'll recommend it again. And when
those are games I can't wait on. I could wait on the Batman game because someone can spoil Batman's in it and he kills, you know, whatever. I mean, Batman can do Batman things. I can't get spoiled, but I got spoiled a little bit. I don't want to get spoiled on the Walking Dead storyline for Telltale, so I have to like stay current. I could wait like 6 months and get it for like half price, but I just don't want to ruin the story to me. But it's awesome.
Yay. Hooray. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I had the more of that. I think we're done.
I'm going to go watching whatever I'm watching.
Sherlock. And then watch Wasted. And then watch Reclaiming the Blade. And then watch The Expanse. And then play the Telltale games.
It's a good week.
Good week.
Boop. Yay, podcast.